Summertime continues on Lake Lilac, but with no Cameron Campbell in sight, what does the future hold for our favorite group of campers? We're talking Season 3, Episode 1 of Camp Rooster Teeth's Camp Camp right now!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV! And now, let the buzz begin!
Good evening, campers! Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV Camp Camp After Show! Tonight we're talking about the Season 3 debut of Camp Camp, but I'm not alone. I'm welcomed by my fellow counselors. I am one of your counselors, Mark Budonica. I am joined by Megan Salinas.
Hey, campers.
Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hey.
And Katie Cullen.
Camp Idea.
Welcome, everybody. We're back in the summertime heat. That is Lake Lilac. That is Camp Camp. What are everybody's sort of general thoughts of the debut? I'll start with Megan to my left.
Happy summertime is finally here again, because it means we get all this fun Rooster Teeth animation stuff. And there's going to be a lot on the docket this year. I really liked this. I thought this was a great sort of return to form. I thought it was great picking up exactly where the Season 2 finale left off. I will say, though, that after the Season 2 premiere, I got a little spoiled because after the Christmas special as well, I got a little spoiled because I was sort of anticipating a musical number that never came. I know, I've been spoiled, so I was a little disappointed that there wasn't a grand musical number. But
there wasn't enough in the budget for it.
Aww, which is why we had to raise the money.
Yeah.
I thought this was a lot of fun.
Stacey, what'd you think?
I'm so happy to be back here. We've missed you. I absolutely love this episode. It's actually up there with some of my favorites now. I like where it kind of starts to imply where we're going with this season.
Mm-hmm.
And
how about you, Katie?
I love this ridiculous show, and I have missed it so much. It was... we've shaken up the status quo a little bit, but it was still very much a return to form in how completely insane and still heartfelt this show can get. So it was a very nice welcome back.
Agreed. My favorite thing is that Gwen and David have inherited the distinct superpower of not knowing what the hell they're doing. Because Cameron Campbell kind of was the brunt of that onus because he was the person in charge. He's not in charge anymore. What's going to happen? We don't know. We don't know what the hell we're doing half the time. So I was a big fan of that. And if anybody's watching our entire run of Rooster Teeth reviews, you'll know that it's taking me a little bit longer to get into Red versus Blue this season. Image one of Camp Camp, and I was back in.
Just
this is
those opening guitar notes.
Yeah,
that's enough.
Just the one little thing. This is my favorite show that the network does. I'm super happy to be back. I'll wait for that to when we get here. Thank you to everybody who has followed us along for this journey. We're really excited to be back. And if you're joining us in a Camp Camp show for the first time, then you don't know about our camp activities in between shows, because we do have some time, and we have the most creative fans in the world. We wanted to help foster some of that creativity with some camp activities, so stay tuned to the end of the show. Once we get through talking about the show and figure out where we think Season 3 is going, we're going to let you know about our camp activities, and we hope that you take part. But starting off the show, this whole episode, and maybe even the season, is about making sure that Camp Campbell stays afloat. A question that I want to pose to the table. Stacey, I'll start with you.
All right.
$500 for water and power, and that will take care of them for a while? What do you think of such a low number for an entire property that is Camp Campbell?
So I'm here to chalk this down to Gwen and David just really being incompetent again. They're going to get to the end of the month and another bill is going to show up and they're going to be like, oh!
That's right! Those are monthly!
Right, we have to do this again! And then again.
anybody else? Did anybody see $500 and go, oh, that's weird?
I think it paints a picture, for one, of just how much of a tight ship, I suppose you could say, Campbell Run. Or maybe another way to frame it is how negligent Cameron Campbell was when it came to the health and safety of these campers. If paying for utilities for the entire property only cost $500 a month, and I'm sure that the place is not insured, or if it is insured, it's like one of those things he can set fire to and get a lot of money.
Or ship off to Thailand.
But
offset the cost of Thailand.
It makes a lot of sense that he would spend as little money as possible on this camp. It still didn't seem like a very realistic number to me, and I will say that to Gwen and David's credit, $500 is only a temporary solution to a long-term problem. But their concern was that Camp Campbell would be closed by the end of the week if they didn't get the money immediately. So I get the lowball number. Still a temporary solution to a permanent problem.
Get the money. Hey, did you have any thoughts on it?
I honestly think that Gwen and David are a little more responsible than we saw, just because the bills were all marked past due and Gwen had the comment about, didn't we already pay these? Mm-hmm. Like, they were on top of it. It was the assets being frozen with no warning that pulled the rug out from under them. So the $500 was a scramble, and I would imagine that there will be some sort of plan going forward, because Gwen at least has her head screwed on straight and David has the enthusiasm.
True.
Well, and let's be honest, Cameron Campbell was gone most of the time. David probably was doing a lot more of the running of the camp than we probably give him credit for.
Oh, yeah.
But they never had to worry about finances.
Yeah. Right.
And Becca Lye and Cam Griffin both bring up a good point. Becca saying they have subpar indoor plumbing, so they probably don't have a lot. And Cam Griffin saying, to be fair, Camp Campbell probably has like one faucet and four light bulbs. There are four lights.
He's not really running a tight ship so much as he's running a cardboard boat.
I guess part of maybe one of the things is how much... Does he actually own the property? Is he renting it out?
If he didn't own the property, it would probably be a lot more.
Yeah.
And he probably gobbled it up when... And also, like, active volcano. Like, it was probably
spooky
really...
Spooky island? Yeah. Like... This
island with
this
a fetish
a haunted
dungeon
camp destination.
Are you implying that the fetish dungeon was there when he bought it?
Maybe.
All right.
He might have also started the fetish dungeon.
He didn't start the fetish dungeon.
I would love to see a flashback scene of a realtor trying to sell Campbell the property.
You know who it was? For all you Simpsons fan, it was probably Gil.
Yes! Probably
old Gil. Really quickly, because I want to move on from this, but did anybody stop and read the small victories board?
No, you did.
I read what I could make out on my phone screen, because that's where I screen capped it.
Let's read a couple of these. There is a Sleepy Peak Police Department traffic ticket, which is contested.
Victory!
A note from the quartermaster that says, do not read this note.
I did.
A shopping list from Graham Graham, which is, I assume, Graham Graham's version of a thank you note. Dear David, this is one from Neris's mom and pop, as it's signed, but it's just thank you for providing such a great environment. We'll be recommending this camp to some of our LARPing friends.
Oh,
but it's sort of obscured. But the one letter that is it. There are so many implications to this letter. Dear Camp Weirdos, thank you for taking care of my 30-year-old. Even if parts of your camp are real queer. Yours in prison, Mrs. Nerfington. Nerf is 30 years old!
What?
Or she doesn't know numbers. She can't count.
I'd like to chalk it up to that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, things got a whole 30, lot weirder.
That's how he kept getting access to knives.
I mean, 13 and 30 sound actually, alike.
Wait. Let me double back. So the note does have 30... I wish we had the image up there. But it does say 30, but it looks like there's a 1. And that actually kind of makes it a little bit worse, to where she wrote 30 and then tried to cover it up with the 1 to be a 10-year-old. Or maybe she... I don't know. It's weird. It's bizarre. Nerfington. The Nerfington family.
Can I point out that that's a plot twist in a Scooby-Doo movie? That there's a kid at a summer camp who's secretly a 30-year-old.
Which movie?
Well, I don't don't know, one of the later ones. I think somewhere. I think there are dinosaurs involved.
So, I don't know, man. Yeah. Just dab it. And Malachroma, are you sure you transcribed that right? That wasn't a transcription. It is background art. It is background art.
Like, you have to work for it.
Yeah, go back and get it because it's lightning quick. And I was like, you know what? I've got a little bit of time. So one of the things that I like to do, especially on the comedy shows, and one of the things that we did with Nomad as well, is really compliment the animation team.
Yes.
The whole team behind this, and I recently picked up the season 1 and 2 Blu-ray, which has wonderful behind the scenes that's sort of... thanks all of the members of the crew and shows what they did, at least for seasons 1 and 2. So the small details are there, and they show here. There's another one further in the episode that I wanted to point out too. But the gimmick that Gwen and David end up going for is that somebody stole the quartermaster's hook, so they need to pay for a replacement, despite him having a lot more useful and a ridiculous amount of replacements that are... better.
Arguably
better. Katie, how does Nikki have access to all of his parts? Which is probably a better way to say that.
Phrasing?
How did Nikki get a hold of the quartermaster's finger?
Is that better or worse?
No, no, no.
Same way she can read David's mind.
Fair.
Magic.
That's fair.
It's magic. I don't have to explain it.
I'm not sure who we should be more afraid of, the quartermaster or Nikki on a bad day.
Chad is saying that 30 years looks like boy, and that it might just be an interesting way of writing boy.
I'm going to jump on that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it says
that
boy.
That is what we
want. Oh, okay. God.
Wow. Thanks, Mark.
No, you know what?
And then Carrie's like, maybe we shouldn't tell him. He was so excited.
It does look 3-0-Y.
Because the cross is right on top of the 3. Hey, all right.
And she did say my boy a lot.
She did.
That's true.
She did. I don't care. I'm going to say we're in reckless speculation. No. He's 30 years old.
Scary
place
we're heading into here.
Beast Wars fan says also don't give Harrison to El Rey.
Harrison, he's been through enough.
Also, I'm
his parents would if they could.
I done goofed. All right, so the thing that I wanted to bring up.
Harrison is El Rey in a different life.
Camp Camp is a prequel. Oh wait, what else was Camp Camp a prequel to?
Everything.
That's right. Yes. No, because Harrison was also the wizard.
Tied to Ruby Chibi.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like, but I also like how the way that people told me that it says boy was just by putting boy in chat. And I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that.
People further up did say it looks like boy, like with full sentences. And that's when it devolved into boy.
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 Hashtag nerf is 30. I appreciate that. But something I wanted to bring up, and I'm only going to gloss over it. For reasons, is we've very clearly found out that Preston has a new voice actor. It was Jordan, who is also the creator of Nomad of Nowhere. For one reason or another, he's not voicing him this season. I did talk to Jordan about it a little bit, but he wishes the new voice actor well, which is Nicholas Weindel. Or Wendell, it's Weindel. And it will take a little bit getting used to, because... you know, the seasons 1 and 2 were really about getting to know these characters, and immediately when it's like, that's different. It's a little bit, not disconcerting, but it just throws you off a little bit. So I look forward to getting more used to this voice. I also kind of like, but don't, how they didn't sour away from it being a new voice, because all of the campers have... Well, a lot of the campers have a similar amount of screen time in this episode, because now that we're so familiar with them, and now that we're all team players here, this is their adventure. This is their adventure. This is the camp's adventure. And did anybody notice when Preston first spoke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all noticed. No, I feel like the new voice actor definitely has the character down. For sure. I feel bad whenever a new actor comes in to step into somebody else's shoes. It's always a little bit of an adjustment period. I especially loved the way the Jordan's voice like demanded your attention when he played Preston. So I feel like it's going to take a little bit of getting used to, but the new actor has the character down. it's just going to be an adjustment on my part.
You certainly took chat by surprise with that.
Oh, did, well,
yeah, a lot of them are saying, no, I didn't notice.
Oh, okay. It's, I'm, as you can tell, I'm a little bit of a fan of the show.
You don't say.
Shout out to our podcast listeners. But, so it's one of those things where it's immediately, that's different. So, yeah,
I think it's, again, also no secret that everybody at this panel is a big fan of animation. And when you're a big fan of animation, something that can develop is an ear for voice actors. Like, you start to recognize when different people pop up in different places. And when an actor gets replaced, sometimes it goes under the radar. And other times, just because you're as familiar with the show as you are, you're like, oh, I noticed that.
Yeah. So we got a new voice actor for Preston. We have a new season to get used to them, but I figure it'll just be a couple of episodes before it's right back to the swing of things. Also, I just want to point out, Eddie is in chat. I know it's a joke that where he said "dat 30-year-old" as a joke that looks like "dat boy," but for the sake of it, I'm just going to say Eddie confirmed that Mark is 30 years old. Thank you very much.
Nerve is a 30-year-old man. It's canon now.
Oh, boy. So the reason that we brought that up is because Preston and Harrison, a lot of the kids suggest, why don't we make a commercial? And so they raid film camp and they make a commercial. How well do you think a commercial starring the quartermaster would do?
Honestly, I think Preston and made the right call by cutting the footage.
Yeah, no, he definitely has an eye for film in this case.
Yeah.
We all saw those photos.
It tested poorly with our focus group.
Not even Sarah McLachlan can make that better.
Who would have sung that song? Which of the campers
Nerf.
Would you want?
Nerf.
In the
arms. In the arms of you nerds. Yep. Pepsi Fed 24. Eddie, you don't even go here.
He just wants to make a cake full of sunshine and rainbows and share it with everyone.
If that's what he calls the upcoming roller coaster, that is part two of season one of No Man of Nowhere. Sure.
You say that like you know.
He just has a lot of feelings.
We all know. So
in the hook hands of an angel.
Yes.
No, that would have made it. I think we have our new shirt design. The hook with angel wings.
I did love how at the end when they rolled the credits, it's "I don't have a hook for this song."
Yeah, and Richie Branson's back. They're killing the release by having day and date the credit song. They released it on YouTube and iTunes, so you can pick it up. There was a big break. Mm-hmm. So by the end of the season, you'll probably be able to have it all as one complete album, but they're releasing the singles, which is really cool. While we're still talking, about the commercial, this was another one of my favorite little moments in animation that the team didn't have to do, but they did. When Preston is asked by Gwen, how much did this cost? About the same as securing local television time. And he has a look on his face like, it's just really quickly there's just a little swoosh in his mouth just to be like I done goofed. I love that, and I try to pause it every time I watch the episode. Hey, which has been multiple times.
You gotta spend money to make money, kid.
So that's one side of the problem that ends up racking up the price, as well as their sweet thermometer board
and pizza.
But
I did love the, where did you get that? Oh.
Immediate realization.
And so, you don't usually get moments like that in cartoons, especially right. In comedies, where you have this crazy outlandish prop and you're like, okay, it's a thing. But since this is such a finances-oriented episode.
I appreciated them calling it out.
Oh,
so
yeah,
much.
No, that was
made
wonderful.
For a great moment.
How did everybody feel about Neil's cryptocurrency plan, Katie? Oh, no. What did you think?
I'm just really amused that they mentioned Dogecoin at all. The fact that Dogecoin exists and is now a currency that is used, despite the fact that it started as a joke, like, God bless. But you can't get a cryptocurrency off the ground by the end of a week.
And especially with a very poor internet connection.
I'm just amused that they reused the computer that the Neil AI was on.
That's a great use of props. It's like, he's not going to get a new computer. How much money and time did he spend?
Oh, it's that one with the shattered screen. Okay.
Yeah. And David just seemed so happy to find somebody that wanted to help. He had no idea what he was talking about, but money, yay, great.
He was so excited about it. We got his little bounce on the way out.
I loved when Neil was trying to break it down for everybody. And he's like, it's very simple. And you just have to be going, it's not. Because, he was so excited to get involved with this project with Neil. And then, especially because it's a project that makes everyone money. Yeah. Everybody wins.
As long as everyone invests copious amounts of money.
Yeah. It ends up becoming Neil Bucks. One of my favorite lines in the show is said when they return from Lester's Electronics, which is a cryptocurrency in joke of David saying, all things considered, we did get a good deal on those graphics cards. Because a little while ago, people started buying graphics cards in bulk to up the value to use graphics cards as a cryptocurrency. Yeah. Really stupid.
Awful. Awful time if you needed a graphics card for real, though.
Yeah.
But yes.
Why?
It's like a bit, or they did it as a bit.
Kind of.
Oh, it was really my bad, God.
I've upgraded my computer, and the graphics cards all jumped by like 100, 120 bucks. It really sucked because people were just buying them in bulk. It's like, oh, you can make
I admire the
currency out of anything, huh?
I admire the internet's commitment to the bit. However,
anything for a bit sucks.
Watch our shipping episode.
The bit sucks. Never our bits, of course.
No, never ours.
Never.
Thank you for subscribing.
Ours theoretically don't rob people of money.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
But please make
Mark,
sure
you didn't tell her, did
to
you?
Visit tpublic.com/theroosterteam. We'd really appreciate it.
That's not a bit, though. That's so serious.
please visit. So, our...
That's
of
not
all...
a bit, though. That's so serious.
Support us, we need it. But our third sort of branching storyline in the, hey, what the hell's going on at camp, is Max knowing that something's up. Absolutely knowing that something's up, and he finally finds out by, as they bring up later in the episode, Gwen just having the hook in the back of her pants, in her pants pocket.
Was there the whole time?
Well, knowing something is up and being determined to find it out is Max's bit in most episodes like this. And the last time that happened, he went through her drawers, her cabin, her everything, trying to figure out what the deal was. So if you leave it somewhere, Max will eventually find it. Best to keep it on your person.
That's fair. You do bring up a good point, though, in terms of this is the second time that Max has turned over the counselor's cabin to find something. Of all of the 27 episodes that we've seen of Camp, how frequently do you think Max turns over to find any sort of information?
Constantly.
I mean,
he's got their phones constantly.
Information, once a week. For the hell of it, once a day. Maybe twice if it's a slow day.
Bored. Yeah. Like, realistically.
Yeah, this is it. Maybe twice if it's a slow day.
This is the same kid that catfished a woman with the Tinder account that he made for David. So, yeah, this is, he definitely, that's his MO. But what I really appreciate is that this episode pretty much encapsulates both what an in-depth character, I guess, Max is, and the complicated relationship he has with Gwen and David.
Mm-hmm.
It's so multifaceted. It's so compelling because he does the right thing by doing the wrong thing and takes so much joy in doing the right thing the wrong way. If that makes any sense.
Doing the right thing for the wrong reason.
Took us on a
exactly
journey.
What he does. Well, and not only his relationship with Gwen and David now, his relationship with the camp, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because his reaction is very much driven by the, oh, wait, this is the camp. This is about the camp getting shut down.
And what's great is they cut that off. You saw him react, but that was it. Not his then subsequent what am I going to do about this? Not necessarily his how am I going to help? But I still would have been like, if he had given us a, crap, well, I guess I have to do something because these two can't even tie their own damn shoes.
David still has Velcro.
These two
it's canon now. I've declared
hashtag
it.
Hashtag David still
these
has
These two don't know how Velcro. To extort people for money.
But who's real good at that? Max is real good at that.
Yep. I love our chat because everybody saw the hook in Gwen putting the hook in her pants and concerned about her possibly contracting quarter sister.
That's a fair concern.
I mean, she was very concerned with Nikki having any of the attachments.
You don't know yet, where she is. Been.
Speaking of Nikki, times. Nikki has literally struck oil several times on this property, which is probably why Cam bought it in the first place, but then maybe ran out of money for excavation tools and went, screw it. I'll put a summer camp on it.
I'll put a money laundering operation. I mean summer camp on it.
Nailed
halfway
it.
Halfway through, that became a Travis Willingham impression.
Well, I mean, it usually does.
It's kind of hard not to.
I love that Nikki just seems to have an internal dowsing rod for monetary gain.
But she never tries anything.
Oh, man, another one.
Where's a treasure map?
Oil is useless. Buy gold.
Buy gold, buy! I love... And this is pure Nikki in this episode. And when we had Elizabeth Maxwell on, if you didn't watch that interview with her, please go back and watch that interview because she was a delight. She previewed a little bit of Nikki, and boy, this was pure crude Nikki, if you will. And I missed her so much. And like everybody is at full 10. In this episode, but we're like, we got it. Par for the course.
The fact that she hears cryptocurrency and is like, there's a crypt with treasure in it.
Tell me more of this crypt of currency.
I need to find where the pirates left their gold.
Look, she has her priorities down, okay?
That was like a callback to the, it's not like this, but more like, and she then gives like the textbook definition of it. Just that dumb, stupid stuff. One of the gamer, go ahead.
Oh, Becca in chat says, calling it now, Nikki found Jasper's skull.
I would like the backstory to this skull. I'm just going to say that right now.
I mean, it's Jasper, so... Yes.
We don't know how Jasper died, though.
This is true.
Is this the beginning of setting his body to rest so his soul can move on? Not with Nikki.
Nikki's going to keep him around.
If he's haunting Spooky Island and can't leave Spooky Island, then he's probably dead on Spooky Island. Spooky Island.
So what makes you think that Nikki didn't make it all the way to Spooky Island in her search for booty?
She was covered in dirt and oil and stuff, and if she had to swim... Because she can't row a boat. We found that out during Camperini.
But she could have come back and recovered herself. I don't know.
You know what? I just need this base layer of dirt.
I feel like she probably rolled around a little for good measure.
Canonically speaking, more than one camper has gone missing. I think that Jasper might be at the bottom of Lake Lilac, personally. That skull is fair game, though.
If we're making predictions, you don't have to hit it yet. Two other campers have died, whether they're boys, girls, or anything else. They're going to be voiced by the other two.
The other two McElroys. Yes!
I'd actually love for Clint to voice one of them. Clint pretending to be a child.
Pretending to be the 30-year-old child.
Yes.
So now we get to the main attraction. The fundraiser at the stage that took me forever to figure out where the hell it was in relation to the bloody property. And
it's that same stage they always use, isn't it?
More on that later.
Oh, building.
Yeah. But we get a return of a couple people from town. We get the bartender, so apparently Muffin Tops is closed. Well, no, it wasn't Muffin Tops, it was the bar. But apparently the bar is closed. The old men, the first person to enjoy a Flower Scout cookie is back and now addicted to pizza.
He just has the munchies, man. He just has the munchies.
He's just
needs something to eat.
How did he get there? On some sort of stimulant or enhancement drug of some sort.
There is literally one Lyft driver in town. That's how.
Fair.
I don't know.
Or maybe he was just asleep in the forest, woke up, and was like, "Oh, pizza! Is there more pizza?"
He just saw the sign and wandered right in.
Oh, pizza. But it reminds me of the pizza guy from Gravity Falls that looked like JonTron. but this guy is voiced by Sean from Mega 64, if I remember correctly. So cool to have him back. We got a cameo from Issa. As the old lady was like, now what's happening?
Who's that? Issa, we need you to come record some scratch, but actually we're keeping it.
Yeah, we're keeping scratch.
That's how they cast people in this show.
Yeah, yeah. Now we finally get the quartermaster introduced. He's been crying the entire time, but he's finally introduced to the crowd with a rousing just gross.
Like, you feel bad for him, but you also don't want to be here anymore.
That's what we're donating to? No, thank you.
And then just this PSA that paints the camp in the worst possible light.
We don't kill children!
We're not neglecting anyone!
Let's go!
Oh, boy. We'll get to that later. What somebody just brought up in chat. Don't worry about it. We'll talk about it. We get one last push for NeoBucks as everything starts to just go off the rails. Not much unlike on a show. Thank you for subscribing. But another one of my favorite small details about this episode is if you watch David, you can see his body language changing the longer he has to hold on to the lie. He's got stress marks on his face. His eyes are seemingly a little bit more open and bloodshot. He's not as relaxed. He's super tense. And I love that little attention to detail. Cool. We just got a bot in chat. That's fun. But as everything started to unfold, the campers are proud of their work, which for people that aren't there for film camp, they put a nice project together.
They did.
Did anybody expect to see a return of the tote bags, like just being thrown into the...
I could only hope.
What did everybody want to see from this scene now that everybody's here? Everybody's put on trial. This is the do or die. What did you expect to happen before Big Brother Max appeared on screen?
I adore any time Preston is a diva about his art. So I would have loved for people reacting to the video and for him to be like, everyone's a critic. Like, no one understands.
I'm getting really offended and getting cut off and whatnot. God, I did expect Max to turn up pretty soon after everything kind of fell apart. I was like, well, he's waiting in the sidelines.
Like you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. You're like, any moment.
I was like, I know
now.
He knows. No.
Did you have any expectations, Katie?
Honestly, this beautiful just chain of dominoes went so much better than I ever could have wanted. I think the human skull was just the culmination of things. I don't think I could have ever even thought to ask for that, but my gosh.
You know what would have been really funny is after they get the money and they beat...
Get the money.
Yeah, and the quartermaster beats them to a pulp. Like, it would have been really funny for there to have been, like, after everybody left, like, for there to have been another burst of oil.
Yeah.
Just, to take them like, out. That's super cartoony.
It's super cartoony.
That's super cartoony. But getting a little bit ahead of it, we have Max in a pro camp, but what's a good? Chaotic good.
Chaotic
no, I'd say chaotic good now, because it was for the betterment of making the camp survive.
Chaotic neutral people can still do good things. And at this point, he was doing a good thing, but no, he is hilariously chaotic neutral.
It's hard to say, and this is what I mean about, like, this is such a layered thing that he's doing, because on the one hand, he is doing a good thing by keeping the camp open. On the other hand, he's actively making sure that the quartermaster is physically assaulting Gwen and David, and two, like, he's probably really happy that he can contribute to their misery, mm-hmm. But it's like, where is his motivation? Is his motivation just because he wants to see them suffer? Is his motivation because he knows that David, this camp means the world to David, and David did him a solid not that long ago? Like, is this his warped way of doing a favor? Is it because he has nowhere to go if the camp closes?
Six of one, half a dozen of the other.
All of these things are potentially true.
I think there's a lot of it going into it. I think, though, after the end of last season, now we kind of see a little more how Max actually feels about the camp.
He's like, I'll do the right thing, but you're going to pay for
it. I'm going to make it horrible to do it. he may hate camp, but at least here people give a damn. Home may not be the same situation.
Now that everything's out in the open, maybe he's going to enjoy himself more now to save himself from whatever home life he has to go back to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure he'll be just as wild. Mm-hmm. But now David and Gwen know how and why.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a more definite shift to him actively protecting the camp in a very twisted way.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to skip everything that everybody in chat
that human skull.
Everybody is talking about in chat when it comes to the fact that the quartermaster's nipple rings have changed from last season to this season. We're going to skip this.
Honestly, like, people never swap out their body jewelry.
Honestly,
guys.
A detail I did not pay attention to.
You notice it the first time through the episode, and then you just kind of look elsewhere the rest of it.
Yeah. You're just like, oh.
I have to pay attention for reasons, and now I'm looking away.
We're leaving you on that note.
Okay. It's just a blur at this point. But the clarity of the quartermaster's line of, you stole an amputee's prosthetic hand for a goddamn profit, as Gwen said.
When you put it that way.
Yeah, that's about the size of it, yeah. We messed up. But what we're talking about, Max, and he's essentially he's pro camp now. Without, as he put it last season, the guys knowing he's pro camp. But how long, if or until he reaches David status? Maybe not necessarily the same attitude, but the "I will do anything for Camp Campbell."
I don't think he'll ever get to that point. In all honesty, I'm more concerned about him becoming a Jigsaw. because in this episode, again, he does the quote-unquote right thing, mm-hmm. but he puts everyone through a lot of pain to get there. I'm going to teach you the value of life, but you're going to have to saw your leg off.
Okay, but he wouldn't be doing it to teach them the value of life. He'd be doing it because it's funny.
I'm teaching them the value of honesty.
And also, this is hilarious. Look at this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was like, well, they did something bad, so they set themselves up for this, so now I'm going to have fun with it.
I'm just enacting justice.
Oh, terrifying. So, Max, we saw Max grow at the season finale of season two, and now we are seeing that growth in action. Is there anybody looking forward across season three that you want to see similar growth from?
I mean, one of the best things about this show was getting to know the campers and getting to see them develop. I love the bits of depth that we get from Nerf. Not to go too far ahead, but I like the idea of digging more into Neris because her family dynamic was just so adorable in the finale of last season. So that I'm looking forward to. And also just honest, Nikki is just such a joy, no matter what. And, you know, her mom's not the best person in the world.
We got the callback at the top, but by the way, can you tell Nikki's mom that she, or Candy, that she gave me a number to a sandwich shop?
Who's surprised by that, though?
No. So
I'm surprised that she had a number for a sandwich shop memorized. I would have assumed it would have been a number to something else.
Probably her default.
Yeah, if you look like that, there's a number that you give. I don't think the old rejection hotline is still a thing that exists anymore, but that was
it
fun.
It is.
Oh, great.
It's still around?
It is. There are several of them with different flavors of rejection, some of which are very polite and some of which are very much the double barrel.
Katie, is there anybody that you want to see get some more development?
This is the point where I pull a U and get sad that I can't talk about next week's episode yet.
without mentioning anything like that, while you're watching this episode and you saw the characters that we did see, is there anybody that you want to see more of? That doesn't necessarily, and that's not.
I can't pick just one. Because that's also,
you don't have to be specific about next week's episode. You can mention a character that they focus on in next week's episode, but if people aren't watching it, they won't know because they haven't seen it.
I do want to see more Neris. I want to see more Harrison too. Yes. Like now that we've seen his parents,
it's unnatural. Please enact the start saving Harrison plot lines. I need it.
Preston. Instead of save Ferris, save Harrison.
I mean, talking about Nomad of Nowhere comparisons, maybe they're like, I don't know. I feel like the quartermaster might be a magical entity too. I'm just.
Where is the doctor?
I'm just a little worried.
He's the doctor without his medical license.
Mm-hmm. alleyway doctor. Is there anybody that you want to see, Stacey? Harrison. It's Harrison. It's still Harrison. I would like to see more from Nikki. I would like to see maybe a little bit more. Maybe we see Dad this season.
That would be great.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's like, I heard about this dumb thing that happened at this camp, and I'm going to beat somebody up, and maybe he's somebody of note. Who knows? Whatever.
I'm also counting the days for Cameron Campbell to come back, looking for vengeance.
Absolutely.
Are we going to see Cameron Campbell again this season?
I feel like he's going to escape from Super Guantanamo. Season finale territory. Okay.
I really want to see a cutaway to Super Guantanamo.
Yes.
I would like to think that... his revenge is destroying the camp, but then they rebuild it and they make it their own thing in David's image, as opposed to Cameron's image. But that's what I want to see. Last thing that I want to ask is, do you think, so this episode, who knows how much they made off of 7 or 8 people buying $100 ladder shots and chair shots and tomatoes and things like that. Do you think that this season is just going to be get rich quick schemes to save the camp?
I don't think so. I think that now that we've addressed that in the first episode, it may not come up again till mid-season or season finale.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that the crisis for that one is over, but if every episode is get-rich-quick schemes, it gets real old real fast. Mm-hmm. And Camp Camp is very, very good at, here's a new story, here's a new premise, here's a new this, every episode.
Yeah, there's not really a formula.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we're more likely to see Campbell's... vengeance or absence felt in different ways, not necessarily his actual presence, but just how what he had going on actually comes down to affecting the camp day to day. So not necessarily all money related, but we might see other ways where, you know, his shenanigans come back to haunt the camp a little.
We might see Arid's cool dads again.
We got the Millers mentioned at the top of the show.
Also, please tell Meredith. Oh, never mind.
just our kid.
I feel like if there's going to be a sort of financial plot point that or a hurdle to overcome, I feel like it will get brought up in conjunction with the Flower Scouts and the
Wood Scouts.
Because they're the rival camps, and so of course they would have motive to try to destroy what remains of Camp Campbell, but
especially since the Wood Scouts keep trying to get the territory.
Yeah, so that I could see them trying to crush them in that regard, but at the same time I'm like, I don't see it coming up super frequently this season.
Okay, then everybody, and we want to hear what your opinions are. Leave them in the comments down below, or make sure to hit us up on Twitter at ABTV Rooster Team. We're going to give our individual ones at the end of the show. But before we do, we gave a little bit of our predictions for season 3. In case you don't know, the way that our schedule is going to be working from now on is we are going to be skipping back and forth from Camp to Red versus Blue. So tonight we took the whole time to cover one episode, so this is going to be fun. Next week we're going back to Red versus Blue for 2 episodes, then mm-hmm. we're going back to Camp Campbell for 2 episodes, Red versus Blue, 2 episodes, Camp Camp, 2 episodes, and so on and so forth until they throw another animated show at us because the summer of animation just started. But
at which point we'll all just be kind of going,
shows!
By the way, Nomad's back! Yay! Oh god!
Thinking. Okay. Yeah.
We're all just like juggling these hypothetical balls going, all right, so do we have any idea when Genlock is coming out? No? Great.
I'm just happy we didn't see the quartermaster's hypothetical balls. But before we go, it's Camp Camp. We're not going to leave you going without a camp activity. So this week, we're going to give you 2 opportunities. One, we know that a variety of you are in various camps at Camp Campbell. It's a fan thing. Get it? How does your camp contribute to the fundraiser this week. And also, for some of our artistically inclined or crafting inclined, we want to see some of the quartermaster's other hands. What other stuff do you think he has at his disposal? Draw, sketch, craft. We want to see it. Make sure to use the hashtags RT Reviews, as well as ABTV Camp Camp. We want to see those in 2 weeks' time. Make sure you send us a photo, a video, something. We're going to show your art off because, hey, we're at a summer camp now. It's us. We're all here. We're all together. We're all back at Lake Lilac. Oh, boy. Cam Griffin is rubbing his palms for some reason. That's interesting.
I think it's just... Yes. Anticipation.
So before we go, let's tell everybody what we're up to and where we can find ourselves on social media, and if there's any final words about the season opener of Camp Camp. Katie, starting with you.
Hi, you can follow me all over the social medias as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you want to see reactions to these episodes, they live on that channel after the YouTube algorithm is done hiding them from everybody. It doesn't get along well with us. I also recently appeared on a podcast called Mrs. Brightside, talking about the bright side of fandom.
Stacey.
Yes, Stacey Shuttles. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles. I also am part of the Inventory Full podcast team. We cover video games every Monday night at 6 p.m. We also play games throughout the week. We stream on Twitch at Inventory Full PT. You can find me playing all kinds of things there.
And we're going to be doing some E3 stuff coming up. We're going to EA Play this weekend.
E3 week is here.
Yeah. We're figuring out what we're going to do about live streaming along with the press conferences, so just make sure to follow Stacey or I, because that's how we're going to be getting that information out. Megan.
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I was also recently on a podcast called The Red Room, talking about horror news. And if you guys love Lost, or if you hate Lost, like yours truly, check out my new podcast, No Love Lost, where Will Link and I break down different episodes of Lost and talk about what we love and hate about it.
I'm so happy that the name stuck.
I'm so good. We owe you a huge debt for that awesome name.
Producer credit. I'm Mark Budonica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark Budonica. I'm also, since you're all Camp Camp fans, I'm gonna let you in a little secret. I'm working on a project in Minecraft right now, and I'm streaming it where I'm building Camp Campbell and then the rest of Lake Lilac. I've been doing that pretty regularly, pretty weekly, and I'm going to be doing it again this week. I'm going to hopefully be finishing up Camp Campbell at the very least and expand some stuff and then move on to the new set piece that was introduced in last week's episode and hopefully figure out a way to do that. But that's going to be on twitch.tv/inventoryfullpt. Just follow me, follow all of us there, and you'll know when we go live, but I'll tweet about it too. I'm so happy that we're back in Camp Camp, because there's just some sort of wanton, reckless abandon about being able to turn off for 10, 12 minutes and just get lost in these kids' weird, weird lives. And we're really happy that you're joining us back here for the Camp Camp After Show as well, here on RT Reviews. Make sure also to visit us at, what is it, TeePublic? No, yes.
TeePublic.
/ the Rooster Team to help support us in our other projects as well outside of this particular studio. Notably, welcome to Vale. We have two episodes up on our YouTube page, which is the ABTV Rooster Team. Look us up on YouTube. We have two episodes up there, and I think I'm going to post some other like supplemental stuff from our various shows and put them up there too. But listen to that if you're a fan of Welcome to Night Vale. Support us by going to the store and picking some stuff up. There are sales frequently, so please check us out there. Follow the entire group at ABTV Rooster Team. Follow the network at AfterBuzzTV. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Camp Camp After Show as a part of Rooster Teeth Reviews on AfterBuzzTV. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Carpe diem.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.